God isn't God because of what somebody else told you. God isn't God because of what he did in somebody else's life.
Dr. Tony Evans says if we're going to be God's witnesses, we can't rely on hearsay.
He has been God to you. He has intervened in your human circumstance in a way that is only explainable by him.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of the Urban Alternative. Dr. Evans says too many of us are looking forward to what we hope God might do in the future, rather than experiencing him firsthand today. Let's join him as he explains why that's especially true when we're stuck between a rock and a hard place.
In Exodus chapter 2, Israel finds themselves in a bad situation. Now it came about, verse 23 says, in the course of those many days, that the king of Israel died, and the sons of Israel sighed because of the bondage, and they cried out. So God heard their groanings, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God saw the sons of Israel and took notice of them. Now Moses was pasturing the flock of Jethro. Well, we all know the story of Moses, how he was supernaturally delivered as a baby, discovered by Pharaoh's daughter, raised in Pharaoh's house. He had an inkling, according to Acts chapter 7, growing up, that he was going to be a deliverer of God's people. But he was like a lot of us. He had a sense of destiny without the proper sense of timing. And so he tried to force something God had not unveiled yet. He tried to make something happening when it wasn't time. And he used human logic and human strategy to accomplish a divine goal. His goal was great, to deliver God's people. His strategy and timing were off. And that led to 40 years of exile on the backside of the desert, as it were. But now, I love the word now, because when you read the word now in scripture, that means a turn is about to happen. God is making a spiritual link. The link is between the condition of the Israelites and the development of Moses. God has been developing Moses by teaching him to lead sheep before he leads people, because the people are a lot like sheep, dumb. Well, he was going to be leading sheep, the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And so God gave him experience leading sheep. But this was also a time of his development. Remember God's delays? God's delays, watch this now, are always tied to your development and circumstances being most ideal for the purpose. Always two things happening. God is creating or allowing the scenario to be created for the ideal purpose, but he's also developing us for that ideal. Moses was not ready. He had education. He had wealth when he was in Pharaoh's house. He had eloquence. He had all the raw material. But what he didn't have was maturity spiritually. And God is after our maturity spiritually. In fact, that's going to be the case of Israel. He's going to tell Israel, as you know the story, he's going to deliver them from Egypt. We'll see that in a moment. He's going to take them to the promised land. On the way, they got to go through the wilderness. Why? Because they've got to go from deliverance to destiny by way of development. That's what the first few verses of Deuteronomy 8 says. It says that I've sent you through the wilderness, through this great wilderness, to humble you, to see what was in your heart. So he takes them not from Egypt to the promised land. He takes them from Egypt through the wilderness to the promised land. That's deliverance, development, and destiny. And they do not get to destiny until there is development. And it took them 40 years of wandering for that to happen. Because God will only operate with us by faith. Okay, without faith, it is impossible to please God. And faith has to be developed in terms of growing in faith and deepening our walk with God. So Moses has been being prepared for 40 years. Little did Israel know that when they were groaning out to God, God was preparing the answer through the preparation of Moses. They didn't know what God was doing to solve their problem, Moses didn't know what God was doing by having him stuck in the wilderness. But God was doing something. He's now getting ready to make the connection between Israel's problem, Moses' problem, and he's going to solve both problems at a divine intersection. God has divine intersections where things meet at the proper time. It was at the proper time Jesus was born under the law. These are divine intersections or divine points of connection. Since you don't know what they are, usually, you can't force them. All you can do is proceed with your development and let God cross them at the right time. So they cross. Moses is at the mountain of God. He's at the mountain. He could have just said he came to Horeb. He doesn't want you to know he was just at Horeb. He wants you to know he was at the mountain of God. Why? Because the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a blazing fire from the midst of a bush, and he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, yet the bush was not consumed. Moses said, I must turn aside now and see this marvelous sight, why the bush is not burned up. When the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. He said to him, here I am. The whole lot here. Moses is doing his job, tending his sheep, but notice where he's tending them at this particular point. In the mountain of God. He's in the presence of God. He's in the vicinity of God. He wants you to know that Mount Horeb is in the vicinity of God. So he's doing everyday tasks, leading sheep, in the vicinity or the mountain of God. It's time for an intersection. What does he get? Here's what he gets, a contradictory situation. He gets a bush that will not burn. That's a contradiction. If a bush is on fire, it's supposed to be burning. He's got a bush on fire that does not burn. That does not make sense. It's against logic. It's against science. It's against nature. It is against fire. I mean, this doesn't happen like this. It gets Moses' attention. Moses sees something, here it is, that doesn't make sense. When God is getting ready to make a move in your life, typically, if it's a major move, something's going to show up that doesn't make sense. This doesn't make sense. Abraham yesterday killed my son. That doesn't make sense. But it was clear it was a supernatural event, not just another natural happening. So it wasn't just something that didn't make sense that was in the ordinary. It was something that didn't make sense in the extraordinary. I mean, this is outside of the human realm that it didn't make sense. Please notice the way verse 4 reads. When God saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush, Moses, Moses, and he said, here I am. Please notice that God does not call Moses' name until he sees Moses turn aside to look. Let me put it another way. Moses had to act before God acted. Much of what God wants to do with you will take place when you move, which will incite his movement. It says when Israel cried to the Lord, he remembered his covenant. It says when Moses turned, God spoke. And not just the when he turned, it's when God saw that he turned. When God saw that he did not ignore the supernatural. What God wants us to do is have a relationship with him that when we're between a rock and a hard place, he can call our name and we'll hear it. Based on his word, tied to his written word, of course, never apart from it, but where he speaks to you by name. So he calls him by name. Do not come near here. Remove your sandals from your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground. In other words, you're in my presence now. You're in my presence now. I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, God of Jacob. Remember, that's covenant. Then Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Now, he didn't know he was going to be talking to God. He was looking at a bush that didn't burn. He just happened to be in the environment of God. And that's why the mountain of God, that's why you want to be in God's environment so you can get a fresh word from God. You go to church or you have devotions or you're in your Bible study, not just to learn the word of God. You're there to get a fresh word from God. So he says, I am the God of the covenant. The Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction. Now we get to the intersection. Of my people who are in Egypt and have given heed to their cry because of their taskmasters, for I am aware of their suffering. So I have come down to deliver them from the power of the Egyptians and to bring them up from the land to a good and spacious land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Now behold, the cries of the sons of Israel have come up to me. Furthermore, I have seen the oppression with which the Egyptians are oppressing them. God says, I heard from them over here, you heard from me over here, and now we're going to connect the two. We're going to make a link because I'm getting ready to do something big. I'm going to deliver a whole nation of people from a whole nation of oppressors. Therefore, verse 10, here's the mission. Come now, I will send you to Pharaoh so that you may bring my people, the sons of Israel, out of Egypt. Wait a minute. Moses knew he was supposed to do that many years ago, 40 years ago. It was an issue of timing. Many things God may tell you a long time ago may come up a long time later when the timing is right. See, the people had to be ready, and Moses had to be ready. The circumstances had to be just right in order to make the connection for a personal word. In between, it was development. Let me tell you, development is always difficult. It's, you know, leading sheep isn't exciting, it isn't fun, but it is preparatory for God's greater purpose.
Dr. Evans will tell us more about what that development process looks like when he continues our message in just a moment. First, though, if Tony's message today is hitting home, you need to know that it's only part of his sermon collection called Believe. And if you contact us right away, we'll send you all four full-length messages in this set on CD as our thank you gift when you help us keep Tony's teaching on this station with any contribution God leads you to make, no matter the size. Don't forget, this offer ends soon, so visit us right away at tonyevans.org or call our 24-hour resource center at 1-800-800-3222 for details before time runs out. I'll have our contact information again for you a little later on after part two of today's lesson and this message.
Whether you're facing a decision or a dilemma, it's smart to ask, what would Jesus do? But first you have to know what Jesus did and what God has to say about the situations you face. Well, if building your biblical foundation is your goal, the help you need is as close as your computer or mobile device, thanks to the Tony Evans Training Center. It's packed with online courses covering core concepts of the faith and in-depth scripture studies you can work through any time you want, at any pace you want. Along the way, you'll explore key teachings and learn how to apply them in real-world situations. There's lots of exclusive content from Tony to keep you interested and motivated, and an online forum where you can ask questions, get answers, and collaborate with other students. It's almost like having a seminary on your smartphone. Visit TonyEvans.org today and connect with the Tony Evans Training Center, where you can explore the kingdom anytime, anywhere.
So there was this supernatural engaging of God in order to bring about a miracle that only God could explain. Now this leads us to the really big thing. Okay, you got Egypt over here. They're crying to God. God remembers his covenant. Moses over here. He sees the contradiction. And God tells him, okay, I'm getting ready to use you 40 years later. Here's how I'm going to use you. I'm going to connect the two. He never thought he'd be hooked up with Israel or Egypt again. Now he's reconnected with them after many years. Now this all leads to chapter 14, the big event, the most celebrated event in Israel's history. After the 10th plague, God is now ready to lead Israel out. So God leads the people out in chapter 13, and now they find themselves literally between a rock and a hard place. You know the story. You got Pharaoh pursuing them on one side, and they've hit the Red Sea on the other side. Remember what I told you. When God puts you between a rock and a hard place, he's up to something big. That's not a normal trial. That's not everyday problems. This is a whopper, double whopper with cheese. This is major in what God is trying to do. Well, the people now, Pharaoh is drawing near, verse 10 of chapter 14. Sons of Israel look, and they said to Moses, "Is it because there were no graves in Egypt that you have taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you dealt with us this way, bringing us out of Egypt?" Isn't this what we do when we caught between a rock and a hard place? Fuss, cuss, and complain. Evangelical profanity, but you know what I'm talking about. "Is this not the word that we spoke to you? I told you don't take us out of here." Now, wait a minute. I thought y'all were praying, get us out of here. Okay? But you know, you can shift back when you're a little all shook up. "Leave us alone that we may serve the Egyptians." Wait a minute. That ain't what you told God. He said, get us out of here. "It would be better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness." But Moses said, this is a little humorous thing in here. Moses said, "Do not fear. Stand by and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you will never see them again forever." He says, okay, we stuck. Egypt on one side, Red Sea on the other. We are trapped, but don't worry. Stand still. And let me tell you what waiting on God means. Doesn't mean doing nothing unless there's nothing to do. Waiting on God means doing all that God gives you to do while you're waiting on him to intervene in the situation. But when you get caught between a rock and a hard place, it usually means you run out of options. And he says, stand still. I guess so. I mean, we can't go back. They're going to kill us. We can't go forward. We're going to drown. Stand still is a good idea. All right? Because I'm stuck. I'm caught between a rock and a hard place. And then it gets spiritual. Verse 14. "The Lord will fight for you while you keep silent." All right? Because what have they been doing? They've been complaining against Moses. "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Why are you crying out to me?'" Wait a minute. I didn't hear him crying out to God. In fact, he sounded pretty spiritual to me. God's going to take care of this. God's going to fix this. The Egyptians you see, you'll never see again. And God is looking at Moses talking about, "Why are you crying out to me?" Which means Moses is carrying on two conversations. One to the people and one to God. Anybody follow me here? Moses got two conversations going on here. Because God says, "Why are you crying out to me?" So Moses is looking at Israel. He's saying to Israel, "God's going to fix it." He's saying to himself, "You better fix this thing." He said, "I'm talking, but I don't see nothing happening. I'm jacked up here. Because I'm talking this noise because it sounds good because the Bible tells me talking." And any preacher's been in this situation. You talking to the people, but then you talking to God. You better do something. He says, "Why are you crying out to me?" So he's talking to them, but crying out to God on the inside himself. Because he's between a rock and a hard place with the people. "As for you," verse 16, "lift up your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it. And the sons of Israel shall go through the midst of the sea on the dry land. As for me, behold, I will harden the hearts of Pharaoh so that they will go out and after them, and I will be honored through Pharaoh and all of his army, through his chariots and his horsemen." Watch this now. Here's what I want to leave you with this today. He says, "As for you," and then he says, "As for me." "As for you, Mo," that little stick that you've been using to lead sheep around, the long stick with the hook on it, the shepherd's crook, hold it out, because now that stick has been sanctified. Remember, he threw it down, it became a snake, picked it up by the tail, it became a stick again. That, in fact, they're going to call it in chapter 17, the rod of God. In other words, I'm going to do mine after you do yours. Remember what I've been telling you? A lot of what God wants to do, he will not do till we move. We may be saying, Lord, I'm waiting on you. God says, well, and I'm waiting on you. So as soon as you move, which will demonstrate faith, because without faith, it's impossible to please me. And faith is tied to an action, not tied to a feeling. So as soon as you move, then I'll move. And since my move is bigger than your move, you better hurry up and do your move. Your move ain't that big. You're just holding up a stick. I'm opening up Red Sea, hardening Pharaoh's heart, making him go in the water after you. We'll close the Red Sea. So I think you better do your little thing before I do my big thing, huh? Anybody in here like McDonald's? We got any McDonald's people in here? You pull up to McDonald's and you order number 3 or 4, whatever the number is. And then you say, supersize. Supersize. You know what you're saying? I don't want regular. I don't want the regular size. I want it as big as it can come. When God puts you between a rock and a hard place, he wants you to supersize him. That takes you out of a regular relationship with God, a regular time with God, a regular. You're no longer operating on regular when he puts you in. Now God has said, supersize. I want to express myself at a whole nother level. I want you to see me in a way you've never seen me before. I want you to experience me in a way you never thought you could experience me before. I want you to come into a reality with me that you didn't think was possible. So I put you in a situation where I am your only solution. Where this can't be fixed if I don't fix it. Where this can't be reversed if I don't reverse it. Where this can't be solved if I don't solve it. Because I've let you use all the natural options available to you and you are still stuck. Well, then you're stuck on purpose. And now what I want you to do is I want you to go into the mountain of God. I want you to enter my presence and see what supernatural thing I do to bring my attention to call your name personally so you can experience me at a whole new level. And when that happens, now you have a testimony. God isn't God because of what somebody else told you. God isn't God because of what he did in somebody else's life. God isn't God because some preacher told you God is God. Now God is God because God has been God for you.
Dr. Evans will come back with a final word of encouragement to wrap up today's program, so stay with us. First, though, if you'd like to get a copy of today's message to review on your own or to share with someone else, the title to ask about is Trials and Promises. You can request it as a standalone message or part of Tony's short but powerful series called Believe. Don't forget, you only have a few more days to take advantage of the special offer on this featured CD series. Just request it before time runs out, and it's yours as our thank you gift for a contribution of any amount. So make a point of visiting us today at TonyEvans.org to make the arrangements. Again, that's TonyEvans.org. Or call our 24-hour resource center at 1-800-800-3222 and let one of our team members help you. Again, 1-800-800-3222. When we're stuck in difficult circumstances, we call on God to get us out. But tomorrow, Dr. Evans will tell us why God may already have us right where he wants us and explain what we should do while we wait for supernatural help. Right now, though, he's back with this final thought for today.
Now, God isn't God because of what somebody else told you. God isn't God because of what he did in somebody else's life. God isn't God because some preacher told you God is God. Now God is God because God has been God for you. He has been God to you. He has been God in you. He has intervened in your human circumstance in a way that is only explainable and explicable by him. And that's what you want. You don't always want to be living your life with a prayer request. You also want to be living your life with a testimony of what God can do because of what God has done.
The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative and is made possible by the generous contributions of listeners like you.